hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a fantastic day today. The first thing I did want to say is that the United Airline passenger that was booted off the plane by force, he has already settled with United for an undisclosed amount. However, the rumors that it was in excess of $3 million. Now United Airlines has said yesterday that it will be offering passengers who forfeit their seats on overbooked flights up to $10,000 per person as part of the carrier's effort to repair the damage from the rough removal of the passenger. So, I thought that was interesting. But other than that, how are you doing today, Dad?
Well, Austin, you would think that they would realize that just giving the people a reasonable amount of money to start with to get off the airplane and not dragging them off, kicking and screaming and banging their face into the chair would probably be better PR. I mean, I really don't know what to say. See, flying those big planes is expensive. I mean, they're probably using thousands of gallons of jet fuel an hour. So what ends up happening is you get into a situation where you have this giant plane using a lot of fuel for a two-hour flight, and it's just cheaper rather than flying private or trying to, you know, pay these guys $100 or $200 a seat or $500 a seat or whatever they were paying just to give them what they want to get somebody off the plane. Because sooner or later, if you say it's going to be $1,000, how many people went off? There'll be a point when everybody on the airplane is going to raise their hand. Everybody wants off, okay? And unless you're going to a wedding or a funeral or something you absolutely can't miss. So it's interesting to me that it took this type of exposure from an internet. Again, the alternative media just blew this thing up to show everybody how nuts United is. And it's crazy. And, of course, American now, the guy whacking the lady in the head with a doggone stroller and yelling at her, and the two children are crying, and she's screaming and crying. I mean, you know, these guys have to understand that they can't treat people like this, and they need a better screening with these guys who are on these planes. I've been on airplanes before that they're really, really rude, and then I've been on planes before they're really, really nice. I remember one time we were on an airplane coming out of Europe, and I remember the guy was just being really just a jerk, to be honest with you, the attendant. And finally I looked at him, I pulled my platinum card out with American Airlines. I said, now, you understand that my wife and I are platinum on this airplane, and we basically write letters, and we're going to call up the president, and we're going to call up American, and we're going to basically give them your name if you want to act like this the whole trip. And instantaneously, Austin, he changed. Now, I'm not sure if you were on that flight with us or not, but he changed instantaneously, and for the rest of that trip, he hovered. It was amazing. So it shouldn't take somebody saying that to get somebody's attention. It really shouldn't. Now, I want to share with you guys something that I really didn't want to talk about. I found out about it a few days ago, and I don't really want to talk about it now, but I'm going to talk about it because it's been brought up to me via email, and it's been brought up to me via phone calls. I have told you guys many times that I have worked with numerous TV ministries all over the country. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. And I've told you guys multiple times that under no circumstances do I suggest that you send any of these TV evangelists any money ever, because I know too much behind the scenes stuff, and that you need to be supporting your local pastor and your local churches. And I've told you multiple times that in the event that you're sending these guys money, and you have a situation where you have to have a funeral for your mom or your dad or a loved one, they're not going to show up to come do the funeral. You have to go find a local pastor. You're going to have to hire a pastor to come in and speak for the funeral. So I've mentioned this stuff over and over and over again. In fact, I had a secretary who worked with me for 14 years, a fine Christian girl. She really was. And she basically really liked TV ministries. And then when she started working with me and working for and seeing how they treated us and how they treated their people in general, she finally told me she quit about 10 years ago. She told me, she goes, you know, Ted, I used to support Christian TV. She goes, but I would never give any of these guys ever a penny again after that. I see how they operate behind the scenes. I started laughing and I said, well, yeah, it just is what it is. Now, I've been doing this on Christian radio and TV now for over 30 years. I started this back in 1985. On WCIE, which was a flagship station here of Carpenter's Home Church. I've talked about that several times on the air. And we had a huge appearance, a huge footprint on that station. I came on with Tom Trollson, dear friend. I haven't seen him in many years now. And once a month, I'd come on his show called Feedback. And it was a great show, had a huge audience. It was a great response, had a lot of fun. That's when I had my clinic. It brought in a whole bunch of people as far as wanting to learn more about health and nutrition and the seminars I did for Carpenter's Home Church. We had over 5,000 people come through the classes that we taught there for 4 years at Carpenter's Home. And so it's been a positive experience in some cases and a negative experience in other cases. Now, here's the problem. a lot of times when I get asked to be on a TV show, I realize that some of these guys have issues, some of them don't, some of them have been in the press, some of them haven't. About 10 or 12 years ago, I was asked to be on the Benny Hinn Show, and I went on his show and had a good response, and then it was kind of negative because, you know, we have a bunch of books and tapes and CDs they sold, and we shipped them the product, and we basically had a hard time collecting the invoice. So finally, I just said, forget it. You guys can just keep the rest of the money. Don't worry about it. I'll just count it off as a donation. Just be done with it. God bless you guys with it. We'll just reduce the cost of the invoice. In fact, it wasn't even a donation for me. I just lowered the invoice because they were having such bad problems financially. Now, about 5 years ago, they called me back and they wanted me to come back again. And I told them, I said, I'll be happy to come back out there again, but I'm just going to donate the books to you to start with. I'm not even going to try to charge you anything for them because, quite frankly, I want to help your audience. But I don't want to be in a situation where I'm involved with you guys from a financial standpoint simply because you guys have a hard time paying your bills. And so that's what we did. And then we ran into a situation where we donated the books, we shipped them to them. I mean, I'm talking donation, I'm talking free. We shipped them to them. And then we had people calling us up, you know, a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, that they hadn't received the books. Well, the ministry didn't have the money to pay the postage to mail the books out. And guys, I don't normally talk about stuff like this, but this is something that this happened to us personally. So these aren't rumors. And so what ended up happening is we even offered Benny Hinn's organization, we said, if you can't pay for the books to ship them, rather than us getting dozens of phone calls a day, I would like to go ahead and just send you guys an offering to pay for the shipping. And they said, no, that's not necessary. So what we started doing, because they still didn't ship the books, is we started going ahead and just, when people would call up, I'd tell them, look, I'll give you that book that you ordered. I'll give you another book for free. All you have to do is pay the shipping, which is like $5 or $6 or $7 or $8, whatever it was. So they got two books for like $8. And we did that for months and months and months until we finally had the whole thing calmed down. Well, he's basically under investigation right now by the IRS, probably the FTC, probably the FCC. And let me tell you why that happens. What happens is this. When you get into a situation when you're selling product on TV or via radio or via infomercial, the FCC only allows you a certain amount of time from a legal standpoint to fulfill that order. Otherwise, you have to refund the money immediately. I think it's like either 30 or 60 days. If you don't have that product shipped within that time period, you end up in a situation where you have to refund the money. Well, they weren't doing that. They were basically saying that it was an offering and they'd get to it whenever they could. So that's not good. That's no good. Now, Benny had some people working for him, apparently, that really were bad as far as finances and you know, managing his company properly. So I'm not going to say anything bad about Benny Hinn personally. When you meet him personally, you would think that he's the nicest human being on the planet. He engages you 100%. Eye contact. He makes you feel like you're super important. I mean, very, very charismatic. And when he gets under the anointing with the Holy Spirit, he's had a lot of people get saved. Now, a lot of people really hate Benny Hinn because they think he's a scammer, they think he's a con guy, they think all the above, and that's your own opinion. I got that. Now, would I send them money as far as donating money to their ministry as a general person? The answer is no, I would not do that because of how they handle their finances. But I feel bad for him right now because what's happened is all of this stuff that he's been doing has completely catapulted him back into the international scene again. His offices were raided in Grapevine, Texas just a few days ago. 50 agents came in. He was doing a seminar or a speaking engagement in Paris, apparently, at the time that he was raided. And now he's kind of fallen off the radar. So I don't know where he is, and apparently they don't know where he is either. So, you know, I just have to pray that he basically is able to get through this, that he retires, and that he just stops doing what he's been doing and starts running his affairs more efficiently, more effectively, and with more of a Christian emphasis. Now, I don't know how to say that any other way. I could tell you a whole bunch of other stuff that I know about him and other TV evangelists. I'm not going to do that. I told you that before. But I wanted to bring this up because I've got millions of YouTube videos with Benny Hinn online. And so I want you guys to know that I did this because when they asked me to come out there, I did it because I wanted to help his audience. Now you say, well, do you wish you would have done it in retrospect, knowing his reputation and what's happened to him now? Here's what I'll say to that. I can't say, no, I wish I hadn't done that, because we literally help thousands of people with their health, with all kinds of health problems, and I can't say that I wish I hadn't done it because I would not have helped any of those people. That's the reason that I did that. I went out there for him, donated the books to him for free. I mean, guys, this, as honest as God as I can be with this, we donated the book. I mean, he paid the shipping from the printer. We got them through VersaPress, and they set their truck in. Benny Hinn sent their truck in. They picked them up, and they took them to his distribution center. And so there was zero profit for me on those books. I didn't get paid for the appearance. They flew me out there. They paid for that airfare back and forth. And I donated the material because I wanted to help his audience. And it was the last one we did that with was Breakthrough Health. Now, I don't know how to be any more honest with you guys than that, but I know this. Give your money to your local church. Now, if you just feel being led by the Holy Spirit and you don't feel under compulsion to give somebody on TV some money because you know they're doing a good work or they've really ministered to you and they've really preached the word and you want to give them an offering, okay. But when you start sending your tithes to a TV evangelist who you'll probably never meet or never see, it's something you don't want to do. And I could tell you, guys, I've been behind the scenes. I've been kind of like in the inner sanctum, so to speak. And I've gotten behind the scenes with these guys, and it's not what you think it is. I'm going to be real frank here. There's adultery. There's homosexuality. There's alcoholism. There's all kinds of manners of perversion. I'm not going to keep going, okay? It's bad. It's really, really bad. Now, are they all like that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I know several of them that are phenomenal. They're phenomenal Christians. They got phenomenal marriages. They've got phenomenal ministries. But guys, anytime someone gets on the TV and they basically say to you, give me money and you'll be blessed, you need to steer away from that. If they have an orphanage somewhere in the world and they're on TV crying, telling you to give them money so they can support these kids in the orphanage, you need to stay away from that. Because I know most of these guys, and only a small percentage, a lot of times less than 5% of the money that comes in for these orphanages, for these children overseas, actually goes to these overseas places. Now, some cases, in some ministries, it's more than that. But the reality is this, guys. If you want to help people in foreign countries, there are many churches in your area that have foreign missions that need support. Support them that way. I know Austin, his wife, Lana, has her mother and father. They're missionaries in Ecuador, and we try to support them the best we possibly can with all kinds of stuff. And those are the kind of people that you support, not these guys that are, you know, doing these crazy things like some of these guys do on TV. So I had to make that statement because I'm getting emails on it and phone calls on this now. So I had to let you know where I stood. Austin, you have anything else you want to add to that?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff in that whole realm of things that a lot of people don't see. And when you see stuff like this happening, you know, and everything going on, it's sad because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good things that I think his ministry has done as far as for helping people and getting people saved. You know, and the big question that a lot of people ask me is, you know, they see some of these guys like this, and a lot of them always kind of skirt the situation. You know, they may get away with it this time and that time, and they never seem to be able to get in trouble. And, you know, people kind of ask, you know, it's like, why, what happens with somebody like this who is involved in something that may or may not be very ethical, may not be very Christian, maybe, you know, is not good at all, but yet they're still getting people saved? That's a really difficult concept for a lot of Christians and a lot of people in general to try and understand, because, you know, you have God's grace, but then you have somebody that's continuing to do the same thing, but you have somebody that's helping and getting people saved and bringing them to Christ. So, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's one of those situations that's very odd to see this happen, and I've seen stuff like this happen my whole life being involved in this, but... You know, I guess this is going to be one of those questions that we're going to have to ask God when we get to heaven, Dad.
Well, you know, Austin, you're right. And here's what I asked a friend of mine who was a pastor, a big pastor, about this. And he said to me, he says, Ted, he says, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will get you there. The infilling of the Holy Spirit when you speak and you can feel God's presence. The anointing will get you there as far as becoming large TV evangelists or having a large church. He goes, the character is what keeps you there. The anointing gets you there, but the character keeps you there. And see, and that's the problem that you have. A lot of these guys, and I'm not talking about anybody in general now, but a lot of these guys have very low character. Now, Benny, personally, when he preaches, he's one of the best preachers I've ever heard, and he has an extremely strong anointing on him when he preaches, and he's literally had millions of people get saved. And I can't say that about my own self. So I'm not going to sit here and tear into him personally. I'm not going to do it. We just need to pray that he gets through this. And I hope he retires, because quite frankly, the way his people run his business out there, his ministry, is really not conducive to being a good Christian organization as far as how they handle stuff. Now, I'm going to repeat. Here's what has been said. Here's his statement from all of this. It says that Benny Hinn's has been ministries is cooperating fully with the government entities that are reviewing certain operations of the church. They posted this to Facebook. The ministry has undergone intense scrutiny over the years, and we remain confident that we will again be a positive and speedy outcome in the days ahead. Pastor Benny appreciates the love, support, and prayers of our beloved partners as we continue to minister the saving and healing gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Now, I'm going to say this again in a very positive way that I can. Guys, this doesn't help Christianity at all. This doesn't help anything. This doesn't help my show because I talk about Christ. This doesn't help anybody. This needs to go away quickly and be done with this nonsense. And we need to not have this going on anymore. And Christians need to clean up their own mess. We need to be policing this kind of stuff and not allowing this stuff to happen to start with, because it's a whole lot easier to try to deal with it before it happens than it is to try to deal with it afterwards. Because, again, he's been already exposed multiple times on Dateline NBC and, you know, all the other things that happened back in the 90s and stuff. And quite frankly, it's not good for anybody. But here's the thing. I want to say this one more time. This is why it was so easy for me to step away from Donald Trump and said, it's not about Trump. It's about the Constitution. It's about the United States. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Yahweh. It's about Yeshua. That's what this whole thing's about. It's about the Patriot Movement. We can't have a man that we look up to, that we look up to that person as if he is some person better than we are. We can't do that. We can't expect Donald Trump or any person to go into the White House and fix this mess. We have a government by the people and for the people, and our Constitution has set that up, but we seem to have forgotten that. So we've allowed these guys to go into Congress and stay there for 20, 30, 40 years. Same thing with the Senate. And then we turn right around and we have these Supreme Court judges. They get to lock themselves into lifelong appointments. All of this stuff happens on an ongoing basis with these guys. And we've allowed this to happen. We've allowed our government to be usurped is what we've done. So we can't put our hope or our faith in any man. We have to put it in the power of the cross, in the blood of Christ, and in our salvation and what we do. And we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Because I will say this. None of us who are listening today, including myself who is talking, have a perfect life. We all continue to sin on a regular basis, and that's why grace is here for us, and God's grace is sufficient for us. We have to pray that Benny Hinn, basically, I pray that he retires, that he steps away, that he just does guest speaking or whatever he wants to do, that he gets off of TV, he can stay on the internet or do whatever he wants to do, and he starts doing things correctly if he's going to maintain that ministry and starts fulfilling orders and things that he needs. That's what I pray. A few years ago, we got into all this trouble or all these different investigations back in 2007, 2008 with several other TV evangelists, and at that point in time, he had a very, very smart general manager, president of Benny Hinn Ministries, who was working for him and kept him out of a lot of problems because this guy was just really, really smart. Well, the smart guy doesn't work there anymore. So he's gone now. So I just hope and pray that this doesn't create another big mess for the body of Christ so that people can look at us and say, hey, everybody's like that who's a Christian. Guys, it doesn't help anybody. So we need to pray for a fast and speedy recovery or fast and speedy, you know, get this over with. By the way, Katy Perry is now denouncing her Christian faith. Surprise, surprise, after all of her witchcraft ceremonies. And she was saying that as far as her kissing a girl, she said that when she was a kid, she did a whole lot more than kiss girls. I mean, with girls. So apparently she's got some serious, serious problems. Her parents are so upset at what's going on with her. They really don't know what to do with her. All I can do is say this. We need to pray for Katy Perry and for her restoration. Austin, what's your next story?
No, you're absolutely right about that. The Marines now have been testing robots with machine guns and hyper subs out in California on some of their bases out there. They're testing 50 autonomous weapons at Camp Pendleton. Drones and weaponized robots, they said, could one day be used to storm beaches. The 50 weaponized drones basically look like little two-wheeled tanks, little miniature tanks, 8x8s. The robots are armed from a different weapons weighing up to 600 pounds. They also, the main ones they're using right now, are small ones that are equipped with one M2 belt-fed 50 cal machine gun. Pretty nasty little drone they're running around with there. Also, too, they're having another one that looks like it's a speedboat that actually is a submarine hybrid that can be fitted with rockets and other types of armament. So this is pretty wild. I just thought I'd touch base on that and let you guys know that's what they're working on. The weaponized drone systems has always been one of those pro and con of war. It has quite the large benefits of engaging enemies without putting military personnel in hostile fire, but yet it also has the ability to be abused very, very easily, as we've talked about numerous times. And when you start seeing them arm these type of drones, it makes you kind of wonder where it steps down, because as we've seen, there's usually about a 10 to 15 year delay from what the military actually uses in war to what then ends up being handed down to local police, as we've seen from the start of the Iraq war in 2001, 2002 with the Hummers, the Humvees that basically were garbage on taking IEDs and taking small arms, even large fire. They came out with the MRAP, the giant armored personnel carriers that could handle all types of IEDs and RPG hits. Of course, once the war slowed down, all that equipment, the machine guns, the drones, the helicopters, the body armor, the MRAPs, all that stuff got shipped to the United States and was given to local law enforcement. So my only concern with this is that if this equipment becomes obsolete in 10 or 15 years after the next war, are they going to start giving top-mounted 50 caliber machine gun drones to local police departments, Dad? Where is it going to be stopped from? Where is the line going to be drawn? As I just talked about on the Hagman Show a week and a half ago, you know, they have already passed multiple bills now in, I think, five or six states that arming drones by civilians is illegal. However, any law enforcement is allowed to use armed drones with less lethal. Again, that would only take the stroke of a pen or an added sentence into that signature or document to make it legal for live fire, deadly force fire to be used on these drones, Dad, which is kind of upsetting when you start thinking about it.
Well, that's where it's going. You know that. I know that. I mean, they're already killing American citizens without due process. I mean, they're already sending in robots and blowing people up without due process. They're doing this now. They're killing people with drones all over the place that are Americans, all over the Middle East, without due process. They're killing civilians. They're killing women. They're killing children. They killed 1,000 in March. I mean, they kill people. That's what they do with the drones. I mean, a drone death in Trump's administration is worse than it was under Obama because, quite frankly, the military-industrial complex is running everything anyhow. They do pretty much what they want. And Trump keeps signing over more and more autonomy to these guys, and now they're going to be, pretty soon, posse comitatus won't matter anymore. They'll be positioning American troops on American soil, which you're not supposed to be able to do, and they'll basically be patrolling our streets with armed drones. It may not happen this year. It may not even happen this decade. It may not even happen next decade, but it's coming. Because it's going to be like that movie, became part robot, what was the name of that thing?
RoboCop.
Yeah, remember? They had the drones they had in the building, and all of a sudden the drones would just, put your gun down, put your weapon down, if you don't, we're going to fire. And that's what they do. Because this is where it's headed. They want to have a transhuman agenda. They want to link these people together with machines, and that's what they're planning to do. By the way, Truvia, this is a sweetener that many people have called and asked the office about, and we've warned people not to do it because it's an alcohol sweetener. It's a powerful pesticide, now we find out. Scientists are shocked as fruit flies die in less than a week after eating GMO-derived erythritol, which is the Truvia. It's 99% erythritol, it's sugar alcohol, and basically it's also an extract from the stevia plant, but not at all the same thing as stevia. A shocking new study published in the Journal of Plus One found that Truvia, an alternative sweetener, actually kills insects. It acts as a pesticide. So, guys, stay away from this stuff. I've seen it. I've had people try to ask me if I'd promote it. I told them absolutely not. It's truly an amazing insecticide, and you need to make sure that you get away from it. No other sweetener killed fruit flies like this does, so apparently it does a really good job if you have a problem with the fruit fly infestation of killing these fruit flies without having to use any real pesticides, because apparently it works as a pesticide. What do you think about that, Austin?
It doesn't surprise me with some of this stuff. That's kind of sad that that's exactly what it's being used for now. That's why the primary ones that we use is either stevia or monk fruit extract. Both of those are pretty clean. I haven't seen any side effects. Stevia's been out for years and years and years now. without any type of side effects in any test studies, but some of the alcohol sweeteners definitely, from what I've read before in the past, they can cause issues with gastric, you know, bloating and digestion issues. So when you start seeing stuff like that with a sweetener, you really have to start looking at it from a different light and really debate whether or not you want to put that in your body. Another strange thing from Amazon now that they're releasing, products like the Amazon Echo, which I've talked about before, which listen to your entire conversations in your house, are proving a very strange shift in the culture. People are okay with having a device in their home that they pay for that listens to them 24/7. They're voluntarily inserting electronic devices in their private lives that spy on them, and then they send the data to private corporations and government. That's what Amazon Echo does. I've talked about it so many times. The little girl in Texas that said she wanted a box of Girl Scout cookies and a new dollhouse. The Amazon Echo heard it, ordered it, sent it to her house Prime. Parents didn't even know about it till 2 days later. But at some point in time, we're starting to see this kind of morph into a whole nother level. Now the social acceptance is about to be pushed on a whole nother level with this spying technology in our house. Today, Amazon introduced a new device in their Echo line of products called the Echo Look. This is pretty bizarre. It's a camera, looks a lot like the Amazon Echo, that you stick in your bathroom or bedroom or wherever you dress, and it takes full-length images of you, of what you're wearing. It's being called a style assistant. It has a service that combines machine learning algorithms with advice from fashion specialists to give you feedback on what you're wearing. Now, I'm assuming at one point it's going to start suggesting you to clothes to buy on Amazon. So let's think about this for a second. Now, Amazon thinks that millions of people are going to spend $199 on a camera that's supposed to be placed in your bedroom, that's going to criticize your fashion sense and then hawk you products to buy. Now, I don't know, guys, what's really scary about this is that this thing even exists, or the fact that Amazon is assuming that millions of people are going to buy this product and has already produced this product, and it looks like it's going to start selling hot, Dad. It's kind of weird.
Well, you know, a lot of people have no fashion sense. I'm just going to be honest with you. And by the way, I'm one of them. Okay, I'm just one of them, okay? And, I mean, I get dressed up really nice for seminars, but otherwise I really don't care. I don't care about what the latest look is, or the latest jacket is, or the latest slacks are. I don't care. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I could care less how I look unless I go out with my wife. Otherwise, yeah, I'm not going to go out and get all dressed up and whatever. I'm not going to do all that. So my wife always picks my outfits out for me, and she always, you know, picks out my clothes, and I always let her do that because I don't really care. So as far as people not having any fashion sense, I agree with that. Having a computer pick it out for you, again, that's just a marketing ploy, telling the marketing, yep, say, oh, well, you need to get this, here it is, by Amazon. Would you like to order it now? And then the Echo will say, you go, sure, and all of a sudden it shows up 2 days later, and your credit card gets stamped. That's where this is going. And quite frankly, you know, I could care less about, you know, fashion. I mean, even when I do the Hagman show, a couple of times I've worn a coat and tie doing that. And even when I've done some Skype, I've done a coat and tie. But I don't even like wearing coat and ties anymore. I mean, I don't mind doing it. I've got a real nice wardrobe that still fits fine from all the years I was on the seminar circuit. But gosh, those suits are 20 years old. I haven't bought a new suit probably in 20 years. Don't really care if I ever buy a new suit, because most people don't even wear suits anymore as far as when they speak. But here's why I would always do that. Let me give you a little bit, let me tell you something about, for you kids and young guys out there that are listening right now. You have to understand something with this. You know, you only have one shot at doing a first impression. That's it. One shot. First of all, I did Hagman, coat and tie. You know, first of all, I've done a bunch of other TV shows, coat and tie. Whenever I speak and I'm meeting a new audience, it's always coat and tie. I'm always dressed up. And you say, well, that's kind of an overkill, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is kind of an overkill sometimes. But here's the thing. You have to look at how you affect people. Now, this is some really kind of cool stuff I'm going to tell you real quick. And so the young kids, listen to me for a second. This will make a big difference in your life. You know, if I walked out on a platform, right, and I'm following President Bush, let's say that. I got 30,000 people in attendance. I walk out on a platform. I'm following President Bush. I come out with a pair of shorts on with flip-flops and a tank top. You know, half the people in the audience would be so turned off by that, they'd go, gosh, what's wrong with this guy? We're all dressed up in coat and ties here in the audience. He's all casual, like he's walking out on the beach. And probably about half of those people, there were 30,000 of them, 15,000 would either start playing on their iPhones, iPads, get up or walk out or ignore me or talk while I was speaking because of how I was dressed. You go, well, they shouldn't do that. I agree with you. They shouldn't do that. But just how that's how the world works. And then if I got out there and now I'm talking about health and I light up a cigarette, which, by the way, I don't smoke, never have smoked. I lit up one cigarette one time for my mom when I was 8 years old, fell on the floor, turned green, thought I was going to die, never touched another one. Okay. And I walk, and I walk out there smoking cigarettes. They're going to be like, this guy's the health guy smoking cigarettes. So now instead of 30,000 people that you've already cut down to 15,000 because of the flip-flops and the t-shirt, now you're down to 7,500 people because now you're smoking. The only people you're going to appeal to in the audience are those people who smoke or chew tobacco. Everybody else is going to walk away. Now let's go ahead and go out there and tell some dirty jokes. That'll be great. I don't do dirty jokes. I don't use bad language. Every once in a while I'll say a bad word, but not real bad words. And all of a sudden you start going out there and spew a string of cuss words. And all of a sudden now, like, the other half of the audience gets up. So now the only people that are still out there are the ones who like to wear flip-flops, tank tops, who like to cuss and smoke. Everybody else you've wiped out. Nobody else wants to listen to anything you've got to say. And so forth and so on. And say that if you show up late, you lose more. And then if you go out with a bad attitude, you lose more. All of these things take a certain percentage of your audience away. You show up there with real short hair, people don't care. You show up with real long hair, it's going to make some people mad. I don't care about haircuts. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care about any of it. I had a yard maintenance guy who worked for me for years. Great guy. And his name was Michael Ferry. May he rest in peace. Fine man. Fine man. And I remember he'd worked for me about 3 months. And one day he's working. He always wore a baseball cap. And he bent over to do something with a sprinkler. His hat fell off. His hair fell out. His hair was all the way down to his waist. And I looked at him and I started laughing. And I said, man, that must be hard to deal with. And he goes, well, how do you feel about that? And I said, how do I feel about your hair? I don't care about your hair. I don't care if your hair wraps around your ankles. You got to deal with your hair, not me. I don't care. And he goes, well, every other boss I've ever had gets mad about my hair. I said, why would I get mad about your hair? I don't care. And he goes, oh, about a week later, he comes back in. His hair's cut off. And I said, why'd you cut your hair? And he goes, well, you didn't care about it. I started laughing. I said, he said, there was no reason. There wasn't any protest being done here. He said, I donated to Locks of Love. And I started laughing. I said, Mike, whatever you want to do, buddy, I don't care about your hair. And see, that's what people need to understand is when you have a certain percentage of people that are being offended by certain things that you do, it cuts the audience down lower and lower and lower. That's why I wanted to mention that, because you were talking about fashion sense and I want to tie all that together. So if you're trying to make a first impression, if I did a seminar and I went to a church and I had 10 or 15 or 20,000 people in attendance, I'm going to wear one of my really nice suits. I'm going to wear a really nice tie, nice shoes, the whole bit. And you're going to go, wow, he looks sharp, because that doesn't offend anybody. You may think, well, it's going to be hot in this outfit. Well, it probably would be hot in the outfit, but I wouldn't care. That's the way I make the first impression. That's how I have to look at all of this stuff, and that's called personal development. Now, Jim Rohn did a much better job on discussing that than I did. And so what you can do is you can go to YouTube, type in Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, may he rest in peace. He was a friend of mine. And just type in personal development, and you can watch an entire series on that and how to affect people in a positive way. By the way, here's another way how not to affect people in a positive way. Security guard pepper sprays autistic man for eating free cookies at a Minnesota grocery store. I mean, oh, I read this stuff, and I kind of go, really? And this guy... this basically sprayed an autistic man in the face with pepper spray because he was eating free cookies at a store because he thought he was stealing the cookies. So now he's being charged with two misdemeanor counts of fifth degree assault and disorderly conduct for a March incident at the Cub Foods in Roseville, Minnesota. I mean, this is crazy. Let me tell you what happened to me one time. I was at the Whole Foods, which I don't recommend Whole Foods at all. Okay, and I actually was going through all of their cookies because Sharon was there buying some makeup or looking at some stuff, and I wanted to try one of their cookies to see if their cookies were any good. And yes, by the way, I do eat a cookie every once in a while. The problem is almost every single cookie at Whole Foods was cooked either with canola oil or soy oil, every one of them. And finally, I find a real cookie that's really cooked with like whole sugar, sugarcane sugar, no soy oil, no canola oil, real butter. So I go and I buy the cookie. And it was like $1.50 or something like that. So I buy the $1.50 cookie, and I'm walking around the store eating the cookie. And all of a sudden, I have some guy who sees me from the seafood department. He comes running around the corner and says, I demand to see the receipt for that cookie. Austin, I kid you not. And I looked at him, and I said, dude, it's a cookie. I've already paid for it. I want to see the receipt. I said, how about no? How about no, I'm not going to show you the receipt? How about we get the general manager of the store over here and the general manager, and I'll show him the receipt? I said, who are you? Are you the cookie Nazi? What's wrong with you? He goes, well, we have people stealing cookies. I said, I'm not stealing your cookie. I've already paid for the cookie. So this is the problem. Now, I realize some grocery stores and some stores have shrinkage with people doing that. I got that. And I understand his point. And had he walked up there to me nicely and says, dude, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. I said, you know, did you pay for the cookie? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, may I see a receipt and just be kind of nice? I'd have showed him the receipt. But guys, that's not how you treat your customers. And what you don't do is you don't walk up to an autistic kid eating a free cookie and spray him in the face with pepper spray. This is not okay, Austin. What do you think?
No. Well, first off, I mean, pepper spray is supposed to be used as, you know, a physical deterrent if you feel that you have a serious, you know, you're about to have bodily injury done to you or somebody else. You really can't just start spraying it. Now, what the autistic kid may have done, he may have gotten hyper-aggressive when the officer walked up to him and acted completely belligerent. That may have happened. I know sometimes autistic kids are real sensitive to when people come up to them and they grab them or they yell or they do something that's really out of line. So that's one of those things that, you know, I don't, who knows the situation, but pepper spraying somebody in general, you better have a doggone good reason to start pepper spraying somebody, in my opinion. Also too, now in the news about NAFTA, I don't know if you guys have seen this. This has been pretty much one of the most controversial U-turns that President Trump has done to date now. As reported earlier yesterday, just hours after the White House said the president is terminating NAFTA before his 100th day, Trump reversed his position, as Bloomberg put it, made a huge U-turn in his NAFTA stance, stating that they're allowing the trade agreement to continue after he spoke with the president of Mexico and Canada about ways to renegotiate the accord. Now, this is pretty odd because this is something that, you know, he pretty much based a lot of his entire platform on, was that NAFTA was a huge trade deal. NAFTA was something that needed to be obliterated. NAFTA was not something that we could continue to have. But now all of a sudden he's saying that they're going to renegotiate parts of it and see where it goes from there. I don't know. That was one of those things, man, that he was pretty adamant about when he was running. I don't know why he's changed his stance on that now. I really hope it's a deal that they're going to do is really, really, really different than the original NAFTA platform. But I don't know, man. We'll see.
You know, he's turning into the flip-flopper. Flip-flop. You know? And, you know, I still don't know why in the world some of my Christian friends aren't looking at this. I mean, I remember I was one of the first people after 9/11 when the Patriot Act popped up, which was basically the Nazi Enabling Act of 1933. I was one of the first people in my neighborhood, community, church, et cetera, that said, this is a bad idea, this Patriot Act is. And it's really bad going into Iraq. Oh, what's wrong with you? You're not being patriotic. And I said, heck I'm not. I said, Saudi, I said, Iraq hasn't done anything. They haven't been linked to this mess. And I said, why are we going after them? And then after we find out that Saddam Hussein, after we destroy his country, and we find out there are no weapons of mass destruction, we still have the boy hanged. He's hanged.
Yep.
Instead of turning him back into president and saying, okay, hey, sorry, my bad, we hang him. Turn him over and they hang him. I mean, are you kidding me? Nope, that's what we did.
Yep.
See, the thing about this is, guys, none of this is okay. None of this is okay. We have to do what Ron Paul says. I mean, you notice Ron Paul or Rand Paul hasn't been put into the cabinet of the president. They haven't done that.
Yep, yep.
He's got a bunch of Goldman Sachs guys in there, a bunch of Sabbatania Kabbalists, as far as I'm concerned, that are running the entire administration. Now, I've got my friends who are saying, well, Rand Paul, they're saying that Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner are about to get saved and all this other stuff. And I said, well, if they get saved after they've renounced, after Ivanka renounced Jesus Christ and after they're involved with Kabbalah and all the other stuff, I said, that's a pretty big transformation. I'll believe that when I see it, and I'll believe it by their actions. Guys, listen to me for a second. It's easy to say, Lord, Lord, you know, and walk away and not do what you say you're going to do. That's easy for a lot of Christians to do who claim to be Christians who aren't really saved. The Bible says narrow is the way and few that find it and only a remnant are going to make it. And the reason it says that is because so many people, they basically get saved because it was expedient at the time. It was going to help them from a marketing standpoint. They could speak in local churches and they don't have a true conversion to Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Yahweh sent his son, Yeshua, Jesus. God sent Jesus for us to save us, to get us out of this Babylonian, Kabbalah, Druidic, fallen angel pit is what this turned into. He doesn't want us to have to live like this or be part of this. That's not what he developed. That's not what he designed us and created us to do. When you have a true heartfelt conversion to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in you and it fills you, it changes you. You don't want to do the things that you did before. You don't want to be stupid anymore with your actions and your attitudes and with your language. And when you do say a bad word, you think, I shouldn't have done that. You don't just start spewing at the mouth bad language and you claim to be a Christian. The other day I had a kid come over here, started smoking pot. His dad brought me over here. I'm not going to mention any names. And his dad and I are good friends. This kid started heavily smoking dope when he was 15 years old. I mean, a doper at 15 all the way to the age of 25. He came over here at 33. His life has gone absolutely horrible. Has a hard time with jobs. Has a hard time with his career. His dad finally had to cut him off at 30 years of age. He lives up in Canada. He comes over with his father, and he starts talking to his dad in front of me and starts screaming and yelling at his dad. And I said, dude, why do you think you can do this in front of me? You're a 33-year-old man. You're acting like you're a child. And I said, did you smoke pot? Well, yeah, I did. How old were you? 15. He locked his brain development in at 15. Fact. Period. It's what it does. And so now we got a man child. We got a boy who's 15 years old in a 33-year-old man body talking to his father like he's a teenager in rebellion. See, this is what happens, Austin, when we do things that we shouldn't ought to do, when we live ways that we shouldn't ought to live. I mean, we shouldn't be doing certain things and living certain ways. So that's why, like I said, I don't have a problem with marijuana being legal for medical reasons. I don't have a problem with it at all. But never, never, never for a developing brain of an adolescent. To me, you have to be at least 24, 25 years old before you can be allowed to use a product like that simply because of what it does to brain development. Because the human brain really won't gel up until you're about 23, 24 years old. By the way, disturbing. The food you're eating is poison, doctor warns. Oh, that's blasphemy. This is from the truth. I mean, this is crazy. I said this 25 years ago. This is from CBS News now. It says, modern wheat is a perfect chronic poison, according to Dr. William Davis, a cardiologist who has published a book all about the world's most popular grain. Davis has said that the wheat we eat these days isn't the wheat your grandma had. It's an 18-inch tall plant created by genetic research in the 60s and 70s, he said on CBS this morning. This thing has as many new features nobody ever told you about, such as there's a new protein in this thing called gliadin. It's not gluten. I'm addressing people with gluten sensitivities and celiac disease. I'm talking about everyone else because everyone else is susceptible to the gliadin protein that is an opiate. It's an opiate! The thing binds to the opiate receptors in your brain, and most people, it stimulates their appetite, and they'll consume an extra 400 calories a day, 365 days a year, causing a huge epidemic in obesity. Ask if the farming industry could change back the grain it formerly produced. He said, of course they could, but it wouldn't be economically feasible. Because he eat more food, remember, because it's an opiate. If three people lost 8 pounds, it'd be a big deal, he said. But we are seeing hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of people, losing 30, 80, 150 pounds simply by cutting out wheat. Guys, listen to me. He's not even addressing the glyphosate issue with wheat. He's not even addressing how poisonous glyphosate is. He's not even talking about the toxins that are sprayed on the wheat. He's talking about the opiate part of the wheat, which makes you crave the food and eat more and more pizza, more and more bread, more and more pasta. Guys, stay away from this junk. If it's not certified organic, don't touch it and leave it alone. What do you think, son?
You're absolutely right. I've told so many people that when I've been working on them with their diets and bodybuilding or just training and exercising. The biggest thing I always tell people is cut out dairy and cut out gluten, which is bread, pasta, pizza, all that stuff. The reason is it doesn't do anything beneficial for you, and you can get good, healthy, low glycemic carbohydrates from a plethora of other sources that have much, much more beneficial effects on your body than what gluten does. It's just, it can cause a lot of inflammation, and we're just talking natural, organic, non-GMO, non-glyphosate sprayed gluten. I'm not even talking about the nasty, nasty stuff that gets hosed down with glyphosate 3 days before it's harvested. Even the organic stuff, in my opinion, if you're going to use it occasionally, if you're going to have a pizza, you want to make some special macaroni and cheese for an occasion, you're going to use organic pasta, I don't have a problem with that. The problem is what I've noticed with gluten and pasta and all that, with everybody, including myself, it's not something you want to eat on a regular basis. That's exactly right. It has very, very addictive properties to it, and it causes you to crave more carbohydrates after you eat it, which in turn makes you want to eat more calories that you don't necessarily need. If you need carbohydrates for exercise and training, whatever you're involved in as far as activity, and you need carbs, you can use oatmeal, you can use bread. brown rice. You can use sweet potatoes. There's all types of good low glycemic carbohydrates that you can use that don't have a lot of the negative effects of bread and pasta. So if you want to use it occasionally for a special occasion, you're going to get organic stuff, there's no problem with that. Just don't make a habit out of it. Don't start doing it every other day. Don't start doing it multiple times a week. Keep it simple, keep it clean, and keep your diet free of that stuff, because it really doesn't have any health benefits, Deb.
No, it doesn't. In fact, just eat more avocados. Avocados are great.
Hunter,
your 1-year-old little boy, your little toddler, he loves avocados. And you know, and you don't have to put a little salt on them. That's all you need to do to them. I don't think they even put salt on his avocado, though they might. It's one of the healthiest foods you can eat. I try to eat an avocado every single day. Quite frankly, it's difficult to eat more than one small avocado. They're so filling, and they're so good for you guys. I mean, they help to help control heart disease, arthritis, blood sugar levels, weight loss, all of that stuff. They're loaded with folate, vitamin C, potassium, niacin, E, B6, B5, vitamin K. I mean, this is an incredible product. It also has magnesium and manganese and copper and iron and zinc. All of this stuff are in avocados. And avocados are one of the healthiest foods you can eat. You get a good ripe one. I use a little small ones because they're like a serving size. You just cut them open. Every day I eat one, pull the seed out. And by the way, you can grind the seeds up and use them too after you dry them. And then what I do is I basically put a little salt and pepper on it. And wow, it's a great little snack. It fills you up. You're not hungry. It's got a lot of good fat in it. And so it stabilizes your blood sugar really, really well. So instead of eating a pizza, why don't you eat an avocado? It'd be a whole lot healthier for it. Awesome. What's your next story?
Yeah, no, you're definitely right on that. Also, too, now the blood-thinning drug Xarelto, if that's how you pronounce it, X-A-R-E-L-T-O, is facing 18,000 lawsuits now. The first court appearance of the Bayer and JJ billion-dollar blood thinner is coming into New Orleans next week. The outcome will influence how the 18,000 other lawsuits behind it will be handled. The plaintiff in the first suit is Joseph Bordax. They said while Xarelto was supposed to help cut his stroke risk, Bordax said it was instead caused significant internal bleeding that required a week-long hospital stay in the intensive care unit, several blood transfusions, and multiple heart procedures. He said, I don't want anybody else to suffer like I have for this drug. Lawyers from the Bayer and JJ are arguing in the main that it was approved by the FDA for safe and effective usage in humans. Of course, because if the FDA approves it, we all know it has to be safe, Dad. There couldn't be anything wrong with it, possibly any long-term side effects or short term if the FDA approves it whatsoever. But 18,000 lawsuits already lined up on this stuff, and their best response is the FDA approved it, man.
Well, 50% of the drugs either have their warning labels changed or taken off the market within 5 years after the FDA approves them. Many of them get black box warnings, like some of the doggone antidepressant medications, which means they make you kill yourself. I mean, are you kidding me? This is the kind of stuff that we're being besieged with because of the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, Rockefeller industrial complex, by the way, who are partners with the Federal Reserve Bank, with their Chase Bank, with the doggone Rothschilds. I mean, these guys are linked together at the hip. We've talked about this before. They're all a bunch of weirdos. They're all a bunch of sickos. And quite frankly, this pharmakia that talks about in the book of Revelation that these guys use to control the masses is not of God. This stuff's all Luciferian. This stuff is like, this is awful. The Bible talks about it and how these guys are basically going to get their end results in hell. But guys, remember, they don't believe they're going to hell. They think Lucifer's the good guy. Always remember that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing all this crazy stuff. If they really believed they're going to go, if they're going to have to buy a set of asbestos underwear for all of eternity, they wouldn't be doing all this nonsense. But they don't think they're going to have to do that. They think they're going to win this thing. That's how stupid they are. They think they can go against Yahweh, the creator of the universe, and win. Nah, not going to happen. By the way, study children vaccinated with DTP-OPV have a 10-fold risk of sudden infant crib death. This is crazy. Where's the outrage? This is by Dr. Brownstein. A 2017 study in Africa compared the diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, oral polio vaccinated group of children to an unvaccinated group. The authors found there was a 10-fold increase of sudden infant death in the vaccinated group that received only the DPT shots compared to the unvaccinated group. If the children also received the OPV vaccine, there was a 5-fold higher death rate. All-cause infant mortality after 3 months of age increased by 112% after the introduction of these vaccines. Guys, what is wrong with us? I mean, I guess we can't read anymore. I guess we can't read, or we've been living in a cave with Osama. I guess that must be it. We got to be living in a cave with Osama, or we can't read. That's all I can say. I mean, how can you possibly not know when you're pregnant that just maybe, you need to research about taking injections when you're pregnant, you need to do research about prenatal nutrition, and you need to think about what you're going to do after the baby's born. But I'm being very sincere now. We don't read. The United States has stopped reading. We don't read research. We don't read journals. We don't question authority. We've been brainwashed and brain dead with fluoride and statins and who knows what else they're pumping into the food nowadays with all these GMOs to dumb us down. Dumb, 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 dumb. Until we get so dumb, we poison our own children. Yes, you heard me say that. We poison our own children. MIT. MIT says by 2025 that one of the researchers at MIT says by 2025 that half the children in the United States are going to have autism. Who can raise their hand and say they're okay with that? That's awful. Also, by 2035, all boys will have autism. In 2037, by another study, all girls will have autism. What the heck? We're poisoning our own children, and we're good with it. Because we're thinking, oh, well, whatever. They're telling us the truth. Guys, this is a mess. What do you think, son?
No, the vaccine thing, man, gets me riled up every time. So I'll try to keep myself calm and collected while I say it on there. I don't know how much more research has to come out, how many more horror stories have to come out on the internet, how many people you have to talk to in person that blatantly say, I will never vaccinate another child I have because of what the side effects I've seen have come about from these. I don't know how many times this has to keep happening. We're in the age and generation of research and accessibility of information with what we have on the internet. We can look up anything we need to, especially involving vaccinations at any given time, and find out hundreds of thousands of hits on one single idea or one single vaccine. There's no excuse for us to be blindly taking our children to the doctor and having them injecting them intramuscularly with a hypodermic needle with some compound we have no ideas in it because they say it's safe and we need to do it to keep our kids safe. Those days are long and gone. Okay, maybe back in the 40s, 50s, 60s when they started doing that, nobody really knew about this stuff. It was kind of trial and error, whatever. That's over with, guys. Everybody wants to sit here and have the latest, greatest iPhone, the latest, greatest Galaxy, the latest iPad, the newest house, the newest car. That's great. That's awesome. This stuff's fantastic. There's lots of research and lots of information you can get from all these, you know, technology outputs that we have and inputs, but utilize them. Do your own research and realize that this whole vaccine thing is a giant lie out of the pit of hell from Satan. This is not anything at all that you need to be engaging in, especially with some of these unbelievably toxic ones, like the DTaP one that has like 850 micrograms of aluminum per serving. That is insanity. That's like four times the amount of recommended aluminum that a full-grown adult male can take, and they're giving it to these kids at 6, 7, 8 years of age and wondering why they're having all these crazy side effects, Dad. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out and put two and two together now, especially with all the stuff we have on the internet.
It must take a rocket scientist. They're not figuring it out.
Who knows, man?
I mean, Mike. Okay, now let me explain something to you guys. Okay, now this is important. Okay, I've got a lot of degrees. You know that I've got degrees in biology, minors in chemistry, psychology, exercise physiology. I've got an MBA. I was trained as a naturopath. You know, I've got my doctor from Southeastern. I mean, I've got all these different degrees and all these different topics. And I tell you what, guys, I'm proud of everything that I have, and I read really, really fast. I mean, Austin will attest to that. I was reading 350 words a minute when I was in fifth grade with like 100% comprehension. So I'm blessed in that area as far as reading skills, et cetera. So I know what I know, and I read. So here's the thing. If you guys can't get your friends to listen, just tell them to listen to the show. I'm going to do the best I possibly can to communicate it in a way that makes sense. Because the only way we can do this is we have to work together. Obviously, the mainstream media is being controlled by the Rothschild cabal. It's never going to tell anybody anything about this stuff. Or it's going to be very brief and they'll never be invited back on again, like happened on Fox the other night when Kennedy got to go on for a little bit. So, guys, listen to me for a second. We all have to work together to put a stop to this onslaught. One more story, Austin, then we're almost out of time. Central banks are having a massive incursion into buying stocks. This is from the Daily Westerner and Zero Hedge. This will blow your mind. This is, remember, the central banks are the Sabbatean Kabbalists, right? The Luciferians. They have bought a record $1 trillion worth of stock in 2017. This year, in 4 months. $1 trillion. Donald Trump's not responsible one bit for the stock market going up. These guys have bought $1 trillion of assets in 2017. It just goes higher and higher and higher. And I'm going to say this again. This is exactly what these Luciferian Satanist lowlife who want to resurrect their stupid serpent god out of the pit. This is exactly what these guys did in the Weimar Republic in Germany in the early 20s. None of this is okay. These guys aren't okay. These guys are awful, okay? And we've got to stand against them. Put on the armor of God like we talked about earlier this week. Pray the prayer that we have posted on our website every single day and continue to pray for us. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I honor you. I just thank you so much for giving me the time to listen to our show and to allow us to go in and do what we do. I'm humbled by the fact that we have such a huge audience and you guys are always here listening every single day. Thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your B vitamins and your HGH stimulate and all this stuff from us. You make what we do worthwhile and you keep us from having to do an infomercial. And if you're as tired of listening to alternative talk radio and having to listen to all that nonsense with the commercials all the time, join the club. I had one of the guys call me the other day from a major talk radio network. And they wanted me to buy some advertising on their network. And I asked him some questions about one of the show hosts who had been basically accused of being phony and being fake. And his response to me was this. He goes, well, don't you know, Ted, that everybody has an on-air personality and an off-air personality? And I said, that's not true. I said, I don't. And all of you have come to my office and you've met me personally. You've come to my house for dinner. I'm exactly the way I am on the radio 24/7. I'm not going to do that to you guys. This is who I am. This really is me. I really do believe this stuff, and so does Austin. I love you guys. Thank you for the support. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you Monday. God bless. Austin, finish the show.
Yes, guys, absolutely. And I talked about yesterday, we have the Ultimate Multiple on sale as product of the week. I've had a few people ask me, you know, on the expiration dates on this stuff. The expiration date on the capsules and the powders about the same. Most of it usually is about 2 to 3 years from the manufacture date. So most of the stuff we have in inventory right now expires, say, the end of 2018, beginning, middle of 2019, depending on the batch and the product. So this stuff lasts a while if you want to grab a couple cans of it. But the Ultimate Multiple Powder is on sale, 10% off this week. And also, to check out the other products we have and vote on them for next week. If there's something you're interested in, you can vote on it. And if it wins, we'll put it on more, you know, on sale next week. You guys can check it out. Email us, healthmasters.com, if you guys need anything, or give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe weekend. Have an awesome one, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.